Warning, this podcast contains adult language and mature subject matter. The views and opinions expressed in this comedy podcast do not reflect those of our sponsors.
You have been warned.
In the year 2525,
it's time for Blake and Ed now. One's big and nasty, the other's a robot.
Prima Donna Doug's coming on. Guys, we have Prima Donna Doug Johnson.
Well,
let's welcome him in.
Let's.
And if he can't hear you clap, we're going to have to record this all over again.
So, yeah. so put your hands together. Okay. We.
Doug.
So, okay. One of the. We recorded for about 5 minutes. We talked for maybe 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And there was a few things we had to stop it because we turned off our router for some reason.
Yeah.
Went into airplane mode.
Switching to airplane mode. There were several jokes about airplane mode and router.
Yeah, but they weren't funny.
It doesn't fucking matter, dude. It doesn't fucking matter, dude. It was five minutes.
You took away minutes from our show, so.
We can tell them.
Precious minutes.
Well, one of the things and that I wanted to talk about is, because you've been playing a lot of 40K lately, between several tournaments, the Masters League at Game Empire. You've been playing a lot of 8th edition, Doug.
I've been playing a bit, that's for sure. I'm out of retirement.
More almost, than me and Blake.
Way more than us. Way more than us.
I mean, I did announce my retirement when they gave me the award at BAO, but I think I'm back out of retirement again.
Jesus, dude.
Typical.
You're worse than...
Brett Favre?
Yes, I was going to say Brett Favre, yeah.
Oh,
well, Michael Jordan did it.
Well, here's the deal, though. Brett Favre had some neck and back problems.
It's true.
And this is a good segue, because those of you that know you, Doug, and you've talked about it before, is your true love in 40K is orcs. War boss Doug.
Yeah.
So the question is, what I want to know, what the listeners want to know, is... are we going to be seeing some War Boss Doug at the helm of some Green Tide, some orcs?
Or even orcs. Not necessarily Green Tide.
Yeah.
Okay, two different things. Yes, yeah. You'll see me playing orcs again. No, it won't be Green Tide. I can't play Green Tide at events. There's just no way.
You know,
unless I've got quite a few dice caddies and model caddies helping me out at the table.
Well, this is true.
Unfortunately, I won't be doing Green Tide again. Well, yeah. But I could get Brittany on one side, Blake on the other.
Yeah.
All you need is a stick, and like movement trays.
Like craps. You have like the movement stick.
Or the old generals used to push
there. Yeah. So I think it's not something we've seen in tournaments. Actually, you know what? There was the blind guy that played 40K that I met.
Yeah.
That was unusual. But you do, you're not unlike a lot of people who have physical problems where they can't play certain armies. And I don't think it's going to be illegal or wrong to have someone who kind of moves your model, like being your back, being your hands for you.
Yeah.
And I think it's completely doable.
And I think if Blake wears the right vest, you know, that says you're a like service, I am a service animal.
Service animal, yeah.
He'll be allowed in the facilities wherever it is
for free.
They're all cut off tank tops.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fine.
With the chain attached. Like a leash?
With a little leash collar.
Or a handle. A little handle.
Yeah. Like
the short handles.
The vest with the handle on it?
Yeah.
You know, for safety reasons, it's the actual whole shoulder chest harness handle thing. Yeah. For like safety.
Yes.
You know. I don't want to choke him out at the table by pulling on his leash too hard.
But I think this is a doable thing. I think you could probably have a stick. You know, you could probably have a measuring device and a stick.
Or just I think a laser showing where stuff needs to move to or whatever.
Yeah.
Know, or something like that.
But couldn't you put the Tide, the 20 and 30 man mobs on movement trays now that there's no templates?
Well, for sure. For sure. And I saw that at BAO. My buddy Brandon from the Masters, he was running all of his, 120 conscripts, and their each 20-man squad was on its own little tableware unit tray. So he could just put them down real fast, and then as he moved them forward, if he needed to spread them out, then they would come off and stuff like that. So it worked out pretty good.
Okay.
And, with 120, I mean, you're basically going to have thick rows anyways, right? So you can do the same thing with the orcs and the green tide, especially for, quick deployment and stuff, because it really doesn't matter until you start moving them.
Okay. So I think that's kind of an interesting thing to think about. And it is possible. It's doable. And possibly, I saw Pajama Pants had a video about the quick rolling. Did you see that video?
Yeah, it was terrible. I think I need to do one.
Oh, you're going to do a better one?
Yeah. I mean, there's just no...
No, it wasn't Pajama Pants. It was...
It was Sean Hayden, and then Pajama Pants did like a mock you one, like, did I get it or whatever. They were funny, but...
I didn't see it. What do you do?
Basically, you want to explain how the mechanic behind the videos was, Doug, for rolling dice?
They're talking about having colored dice and different different cups, and then pouring them all in this weird box to roll fast. But it's not the way to go.
Okay. So basically, it was like this cup is labeled 45, and it's red dice. So you always know I have 45 red dice in this cup.
Yeah.
And so when you're doing the math and the numbers, you just pour cups into a big shoebox that has like a hole cut out of it. And so
which your opponent can't see what you're pulling out of there and stuff like that. It's just a terrible idea. But
it's true.
Well, I don't know.
It's just so bad.
So what would be your suggestion? Because apparently the BAO, the games didn't finish.
Well, it was...
Not Doug's game.
Alan's game was two giant horde mass, bodies against each other. So once they slammed into combat in turn one, because you can do that now in eight, it's just total chaos. Most of it wasn't just the die rolling, it was figuring out who's swinging at what. That's where the complicated part comes in. So having these dice cups and buckets, it helps a little bit, but it's more of the complication of, two hordes, with these huge units, and, half of my 30-man unit is, charging one of your 30-man units, and the other half is charging another 30-man unit, and, vice versa, and it just gets really complicated to figure out. That's where the major part of, the time went, just discussing where all these attacks are going, not just rolling the dice. Dice was a small factor of that. So, I mean, it is a factor, but it's small compared to just the complication of two hordes slamming into each other in a tournament.
So are you saying then that the rolling mechanics aren't really the problem as much as there's other things that can be fixed in terms of, like you're saying? Like you said, you might want to make a new video, right?
Yeah.
Do you have a different method? Is this a video about rolling, or is this a video about model placement and communication?
No, it's about die rolling and preparing for the game and stuff like that. But I got to work on it.
Here's my problem with the cups. Okay,
what's the problem?
Here's my problem with cups. You're playing 40K, right? Sometimes you need a die. Sometimes you need multiple, right? Sometimes you misplace a die,
And then when you pour everything in, one of the dice is hiding in the terrain. And you're like, oh, I got 45 here, so I need to roll 40 dice. Let me just take out 5. And now you're really only rolling 39 dice. And you're shorting yourself.
Well, shorting yourself.
You end up shorting yourself a lot in that case. I did it in this event just with, like, my vulture. You know, that's 40 shots. So I had 40 blue dice. But, you know, I got halfway through a game and realized 3 of them were, on the corner behind some terrain. So, for like 2 rounds of shooting, I shot, 3 less than usual just because I thought I had them, right? So that does happen for sure. You're right, Ed.
Yeah.
The issue, the bigger issue is just 2 hordes going at it.
So how?
I mean, it's just so many models in a tournament setting. Hordes, you're never really going to fix hordes. I mean, they've sped it up a lot by getting rid of templates and stuff like that. But when you've got 2 assaulting horde armies going toe to toe that are getting into assault turn 1, it gets pretty gnarly. Now, if you can get through those first, 1 or 2 long turns, because there's so much going on, everything's going to be dead by turn 3, turn 4, right? So yeah. if you can power through that first turn quickly, then you don't have a problem. But with the game being new, getting new, there's a lot of newness to the game, of course, and the tactics, the pile in, the consolidate, people just aren't getting that, and they're doing it wrong, right?
Yeah.
So there needs to be a little more, you need to know your list better, you need to know, you, like all good competitive players, you need to know your opponent's stuff, too, so you can kind of, you're not sitting there debating a rule. You know the rule of their stuff, so you're going quicker too, right? So there's a lot of that. I mean, with Bay Area Open, most of my games finished with I had an hour left. And if anybody knows me and has played me, that's amazing. I'm not the fastest player.
No, you're not.
I'm a tactician, as it were, but the fact that I'm just flying through these games are brutal. 8th is brutal in tournaments, as long as you accept that. And going into these tournaments, and I had multiple games, I played Tao in I think it was a C round 4. We were both 3-0, and I played him, and he went first. I went first. Didn't do a lot in my shooting. My shooting really failed me. It was the first game of the event where my first round of shooting it wasn't brutal, right? I mean, I had some bad rolls. He had some great saves. It happened. So then he came and his turn 1 killed both my flyers.
Mm.
And he asked me, he's like, you want to call it? I'll buy you a beer. I'm like, nah, let's play it out. And then, by turn 4, he called it.
Wow.
Or the bottom swings. Of 3.
So did you buy him a beer, Doug?
Super heavy swings. No, he kind of just left the table. We went right into that one. That one almost finished. No, actually, I had time left on that one, too. I'm trying to figure out. I think my game against Brandon Grant was super close. I made a huge mistake turn 1 and tried to fight back on it, but couldn't quite pull it out. So Brandon got me on that one. I still got full points for the max points you can get for a loss, but I lost that one to Brandon.
Well, I want to know is when you say it's brutal, it means everything's dying. Everything's going to die.
Everything's dying. There's the video of me and Jeff Robinson. Jeff in control. That was round 3 of day 1. Mm-hmm. And that he called it at the end of 2.
Now,
and that game had huge swings. Video of that is up on Frontline if you guys want to watch it. It's a pretty interesting. It definitely forges a hard narrative. I mean, there's a narrative going on here. The bugs charge in and are assaulting me turn 1. They're just surrounding me. It's brutal. I look like I'm screwed.
No, you and did. Then, I saw that. I saw the first turn.
And then I stay strong. You know, he kills my front line of conscripts, which, you know, if anybody's read any of the, you know, fluff on guard, yeah, you know, they have their 15 minutes of fame on the field, and they did it. I set a trap for Jeff, too, and he fell into it pretty hard, and it cost him in a big way during my turn one. And, you know, turn one, he came in hard. He had me surrounded. He killed 120 points of conscripts and a couple scouts.
But he had, but by the way, he had, not only did he wipe that first line of conscripts, turvagons up in your face.
The Molochs.
He had his swarm lord deep at you, and he had a bunch of gene stealers way up in your battlements. Like, the table looked horrible. But you came back from that.
Oh, I killed like 800 points, 850 points of his army at the bottom of turn one.
Because they were right there. The whole army was right there.
Yeah, the trap was, and I asked him during the game, you know, while I'm deploying, I'm like, you know, what's the size of your guys that pop up within an inch? And he's like, oh, yeah, they're the flying base. I'm like, okay. So I made these two big spots right on each side of Gilliman, hoping he would bring them in, because I didn't want him to bring them in later in the game after I got my Centurions out, because if he can bring them next to my Centurions, once my Centurions get out of the Storm Raven, the mortal wound kill them. And the Centurions were the thing that was going to win me that game. Hmm. Them, all the shooting from the Flyers. So I really desperately wanted to bait him into bringing those guys in turn one. I mean, Gilliman can take a couple mortal wounds. I don't care. He can just shrug them off. You know, he'll just pop back up, which he did. He died and popped back up and tapped his swarm lord on the head and killed him. It was pretty epic. But it's just a brutal game. You know, sometimes you can have a game like that one that has a heavy swing and you can come back from it.
And Jeff's a good player.
Other ones you can't. Yeah, he's a really good player. There's a lot of things with like consolidation and piling in that, you know, people need to work on. I was playing it wrong initially. I mean, even through all of Barry Open, I was playing my assassin wrong, and I was nerfing myself on accident. I didn't real, you know, I just, words are hard for me. So I thought the -2 modifier to psychers was my psychers as well, but it's only enemy psychers. So I cost myself some stuff on a couple things, but it didn't really ever come into effect on any of the games.
Yeah,
but the Calexis, I mean my assassin was amazing in the game. It was great against Pal, because you'd have to try to shoot through my assassin where he's hitting on sixes before he could get to Gilliman, which is nice. Or I go up against Brimstone, and now no Brimstone can cast Smite against me if they're within 18 inches of my assassin. So that was a really nice thing. Which was huge, because, I mean, Brimstones are everywhere now. Everybody's using them. They're cheap as heck. You know, they're cannon fodder. They're like, you know, Imperial does conscripts, Chaos does Brimstones. That's basically the two, like,
and Dark Eldar,
15 minute of fame.
Dark Eldar and does the Razor Flock.
The Razor Flock. They might not do it as much as they were doing it, but they still do it.
Okay, so here's the question then. You talked earlier about the problems, the difficulties of Horde on Horde, in terms of logistics of the game. Are there techniques that you're aware of or you're thinking about that can make that easier, that don't involve not playing Horde v Horde?
That don't do Horde on Horde? You mean like Horde against something else?
No. But
like a Horde army against my kind of mid-model army?
No. Basically, are there, other than stop playing Horde armies, is there a way you can move the games faster? You know what I'm saying?
It just comes down to knowing your army better, opponent's army better. Because if you know... There's certain phrases and certain ways that each opponent needs to learn to talk to each other as well.
Okay.
Because now with the negative modifiers to AP, you don't need to apply those to the role, because a lot of opponents and some people, it's in their nature to just sit there and tell you what you need to roll, and they might not be considering what modifiers you have. Or you might jump to the conclusion that they know something that they don't, and they've inaccurately given you. Like, let me give you an example. If somebody has like a flyer that's hard to hit, and then they put, they have Tigerius in there who makes it another -1 to hit. So now it's a -2 modifier. You roll, okay, I need 3s to hit, and then you're supposed to calculate the modifiers afterwards. So it's, -2 to hit. And then during damage, now you've got also AP modifiers that you need to apply. So it's like, okay, I've rolled, you say how much damage you've done, how many wounds you've done, and then tell the minus AP. And then they apply that to whatever they know on their side, right?
Okay.
Instead of you jumping to the conclusion that you know what other modifiers they might have,
but
confusing them, yeah. Or you get into an argument about it or discussion about it. Just try to keep the flow going quickly by, knowing how to tell your opponent, okay, these are the wounds -2. These are the wounds -1, right? And then they apply their modifiers to it as well. Like maybe they're in terrain, so they get a +1, so it negates. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Instead of you saying, okay, I know those are conscripts, and they've got a 5-up, and then they're in cover, and I apply all that and tell you what you need to roll.
Yeah.
Because then that can cause a discussion. Because wait a minute, hold on, what's your AP? My AP's 2. I know you're in, and then you kind of get in this little argument or whatever about, or you're just wasting time. And when you're rolling for hordes on hordes, you got to really be quick on how you're kind of throwing back and forth your own information with each other.
So it's basically. You can do that. You can do that numbers. You can do that math that he needs to do for himself, but you can just do that quietly in your head.
And that's the way I would suggest doing it.
And then when he goes to do his results and it doesn't match with your math in your head, that's when you can speak up and say, hey, exactly. I think this is the issue. Rather than every single time having that discussion or that time spent saying what his math is, just knowing it in your head and then just trusting that he can do the math himself. Boom.
But here's the problem.
What's the problem, Ed?
When you play against somebody like Blake who can't do math,
yes.
The numbers are always different than what you have in your head.
That's
then you correct him.
Yeah, but then he does it again.
Oh, yeah.
And then he does it again. And then your games just take forever. So don't play Blake if you're trying to speed up through games.
But I do find myself, when I will say that, though, in games, I'll be like, oh, it's a -2 mod. It's a -2 AP. And what's your armor class? Or what's your armor? So that means you need 17. This. I wear full plate. So I'll find myself having those discussions with that person. Rather than if I actually knew his army, if I knew his information, I could just look there and know, all right, he needs 3s. Yeah. So you're right. Okay, those are some good suggestions, Doug.
Can we go?
Can you go?
Uh-oh.
Doug's not even listening.
No.
I am listening. I'm sorry.
What did I just say, Doug?
He said, can we go?
Can we go?
Yeah, that's. Sorry about that.
Listen.
Do you need
to go? No, I don't. I don't at all.
Okay.
Impatient teenager. Sorry.
Well, I gotta switch gear here.
Let's go back to what you were saying.
Okay.
So what you'll find out, when those kind of situations happen where one guy is kind of behind the curve on, the modifiers.
Mm-hmm.
Once you guys have gotten through like one or two rounds, you get familiar with your opponent, what your opponent's weapons do, what they're doing, and you start getting on that same page to where it goes a lot faster. The big issue that a lot of people are not understanding is you know, rerolls happen before modifiers, which is confusing. And then now you've got to, like, hold on, now we got to reroll everything you did that wrong.
Yeah.
So rerolls people need to understand that rerolls happen before modifiers. So if I gave you an example of, like, Mike Gilliman, let's, you know, everybody within his bubble reroll hits and wounds if they're, you know, Ultramarines with them.
Okay.
And I'm shooting at a flyer. So a fly, shooting at the flyer is a minus one modifier. Say my Centurions are shooting their last cannons at them. So they normally hit on a 3+.
Mm-hmm.
They're hitting on a, they don't hit the flyer on a 3+. They hit it on a 4+. But rerolls are before modifiers.
So if he rolls a 1 and 2, he can reroll it, but he can't reroll a 3.
I can't reroll a 3.
Oh,
exactly.
Okay. Because of the timing of when the modifiers are applied.
When the modifiers are applied. It's kind of a nerf, I think, they did towards maybe rerolls. You know, because that's like a 16% less powerful, you know, element within the game, right? The rerolls are my rerolls are, you know, 16% less potent, basically, with that being, you know, rerolls before modifiers kind of thing.
That's weird. So that's a weird decision.
So now you throw in, like, maybe let's say I'm mirror matching somebody and they've got a Gilliman or they've got some flyer and they've got Tigerius, which has the special ability of giving a unit, you know, the minus one to hit. So now I give that to my Storm Raven. Now my Storm Raven has minus two to hit. So I'm re-rolling everything. I'm re-rolling my Laz Cannons at his Storm Raven, but I need fives to hit. So I can't re-roll any of the, you know, I can't re-roll any of those threes or fours.
Wow.
Right?
That's
a big deal. And that's a big deal that you need to know. Everybody needs to know. I mean, even if you're familiar with, okay, when I re-roll, I know that. But you've got to make sure your opponent knows that. And you've got to watch them when they roll, right? Oh, I get a bunch of re-rolls. And they start picking up threes. Like, wait, are you a 3+? Yeah. Okay, you can't pick up the threes. You have to set those aside. You can only do the ones and twos. You know? So you have to be really careful with that. That's something to keep an eye on. And once people get familiar with Ape, I don't think it'll be that big of a deal.
I had heard some people talking about that. I didn't quite understand it, but I didn't really care to dig too deep into it. So I'm super glad you brought that up, Doug. It clarifies now.
It's huge with, you know, if you've got Gilliman, I mean, he is super powerful. He is crazy powerful for his points. But when something's hard to hit or something's got a minus two modifier to it to hit, now I'm not re-rolling those threes and fours. I'm only re-rolling ones and twos.
Yeah.
That makes a big, that's a 30, you know, 32-33% difference.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy him.
In your effectiveness, right? Oh, everybody should. He's amazing.
I'm not.
I'm going to buy the Forge World version because I like that one better.
Yeah, he's pretty cool too.
So change. Okay, you got something. Keep going.
No, I was just going to say. So with these elements of eight, because it's new. The tactics are new. Pile in. You know, when a model goes to pile in, you know, people are kind of using it to, you know, consult, you know, to pile into another enemy unit, you know, to kind of pull them into the combat. Well, the model has to move to the nearest, you know, model to it. So you have to be careful how you position yourself on the initial charge, or you can't do it later on. But people are still kind of piling around. You know, you just have to be careful of these, just like the little nuances of eight, and people will get used to it. And
a lot of
people were doing pretty good.
I thought the first model has to go closest, and then the other ones just get the full move.
Yeah, but then when you go to piling, you can never. Go farther away from the model
in
that
the
you're pilot. To,
yeah,
right?
Well, it's
in the charge. In the charge, you can go.
Yes,
out.
But it's age. It's basically charge, the age. Yeah. Of, it's an Age of Sigmar thing.
Yeah,
the Age of Sigmar rule was, you can when you do your pile in, as long as you are closer to the model
you started
the pile in, as long as you're closer to the enemy model.
That you started combat with,
you're free.
Yeah.
But you can't do the whole base-to-base slide.
Yeah.
Do you know about that, Doug? The whole base to base shimmy.
Well, if you're in base contact with one, you can like go around that model as long as you don't ever go farther away from it.
Oh, well, because I know in Age of Sigmar there had been discussions about that. Like once you were in base to base contact with a model, a lot of people were saying, "Oh, you are no longer able to move anymore."
Why not?
Because
you can never go farther away from that model.
Well, no, the wording was is you can't end your turn closer.
Further.
Closer.
Once you're
in base-to-base contact.
You can't get closer.
Yeah.
So I got the book right here. I'll pull it up.
Well, yes, but if the sentence...
This is an important thing.
If the sentence says closer, Doug, and you move him, and they're still moving around like a monstrous creature or flying base,
yeah,
you can't do that. Because you're not moving closer.
Yeah.
Unless you move them on top of the model.
Yeah. And once you're in base-to-base contact, there is no physical way to be closer than base-to-base contact.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know if they settled that or how that got...
Hey, if that's the wording, we got to enter a tournament and rule out people.
And just fucking...
Okay, so... I've got it right here. So pile in. You may move each model in the unit up to 3 inches.
Yes.
This move can be in any direction so long as the model ends the move closer to the nearest enemy model. Okay. So if you are already base to base, then you're right. You can't move it anymore.
Yeah, you can't do the shimmy.
Yeah.
Which means you have to be very micro precise here.
Yeah.
It's like,
well,
you know, fractions of an inch. Yeah.
Fractions of an inch, and you know there's things like, you know, I'll use my assassin to charge in with like Gilliman into say Magnus or something like that, and you know if you put all your swings to try to kill Gilliman and then you kill him but then he pops back up and I leave him, you know, just inside of an inch,
mm-hmm.
but the Calexis assassin is, you know, a millimeter away from Magnus. During your next phase, during the psychic phase, you can't target, you know, anybody but the Calexis assassin with a smite, but you can't target him. So you're not smiting.
Interesting.
Nice.
Right?
Ah.
So, because it's the closest enemy model, if you target it, nothing, it takes no effects, right? So Calexis is super powerful against a lot of the smite armies out there.
Yeah.
It's actually surprised some people, and it's still powerful because it's a character that you can throw in front of your other characters, and now it's sixes to hit.
Yeah.
So it's a fun little, only problem is that's a lot of points in an assassin when you go up against hordes, and you really need wound output.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So if the rest of your army isn't like throwing out mass damage, you know, like just major DACA, then a Calexis probably isn't the best thing for you.
Okay.
So it's kind of a give and take. But some of those assassins are pretty fun.
You know,
the sniper assassin, the Vindicare assassin. I don't use him. This is the first time I've actually ever used an assassin at Bay Area Open. And the single Calexis worked really great for me, even though I was totally nerfing myself. I cheat so much, just never in my favor, man. I got to work on that.
Yeah, sure, Doug.
So before Blake changes gears,
yes,
because he wants to shift downshift, because we're coming around a corner.
Because we got commercial.
Yeah, there's commercials in the road ahead, and we got a downshift. Do you play any Primaris Marines?
I do. My initial tournament list, I had, you know, two squads of Primaris Marines. They were pretty fun. The list that I took to Bay Area Open, I didn't have any.
Okay.
But now I'm really looking at the Reavers. I know some people are not liking the Reavers. I think they're going to help my list a little bit with just getting a unit in my opponent's face. They do a lot of damage. You know, if you look at the Primaris, the Reavers don't have jump, but like the Assault Marines, they kind of do the same thing as the Primaris Reavers.
Incestors?
Yeah,
not the Incestors. I'm talking, Reavers are an assault unit.
Yeah.
So their non-Primaris equivalent, I would say, is Assault Marines with jump packs.
Because
the jump pack Space Marines can, you know, drop down in your opponent's face and charge that turn. The Reavers can do the same thing, but the Reavers have a little bit more damage output for the points.
Yeah.
And
they have less models.
Yes.
And they're two wounds instead of one. So when you go up, it's a give and take. You know, me and my son, who is like going all Primaris, and he's running, he's building up a really great looking Salamander army. And Salamander, I think, is going to be incredibly powerful. It's really cool. There's so much for the Primaris Space Marines with the Salamander rules that are just super fun. So any Salamander player out there that's thinking, you know, that the Salamanders aren't that great, relook at them. They're amazing. They're really, really fun. You can use all the Primaris Ancients. I think if you're going to go an all Primaris army, I think my favorite right now is Salamanders.
Hmm. How could there be a Primaris Ancient? Because Primaris is new.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, well.
They're just trying to teach old dogs. Aren't
that's the banner guy that lets you like when stuff dies, and that's cool.
It's basically a lieutenant or a sergeant.
Okay,
it's like a lieutenant. It's actually an elite, and he's like a banner holding guy, and he's got the 6-inch bubble. If anything dies within that 6 inches, you roll on a 4+, and it gets to do I'm dying action, right? So it can shoot or assault. And I had him in my army for the longest time. I switched, like, last minute. I decided to go with the Assassin instead of the Ancient. But just to give you an example of how the Ancient worked for me, it was pretty fun. I was shooting. I got to go first against the Demon player. I got Magnus down to 1 wound left and didn't kill him. And then he came at me. He killed one of my flyers that blew up. Killed three scouts. Those scouts.
I see where this is going.
The scouts with the Ancient fired and killed Magnus.
That's funny.
It was pretty cool. So
and then they died.
And then they died. And then my apothecary brought one of them back to life the next turn.
Jesus Christ! Jesus
Wait, the next.
So that's. Yeah, so the next movement phase. So apothecaries now for Space Marines bring guys back to life. So yes. I can bring a Centurion back from the dead. Yes. As long as there's that unit's left. And it's
pretty cool.
Nasty. It's pretty nasty because especially with the, you know, there's so many cool Primaris models, and you bring in the apothecaries. The problem is you just got to make sure they're staying alive. And the problem with the Primaris Marines versus regular Marines is you have less bodies. You have this maybe the same amount of wounds but less bodies, and there's a lot of multi-wound damage out there, right?
Yeah.
So there's some give and take there, but if you're playing your stuff right, the nice thing, there's a dynamic with Ultramarines where you got to kind of keep your bubble, right? You got to keep your like little Death Star with Gilliman and the guys around him and stuff like that to get the rerolls. You don't need that a lot of the times with the Salamanders. Salamanders, you can bring more, you know, small units, but more of them, so you're covering the board more. You got more firepower. Mm. You put in a couple Ancients and a couple Apothecaries in two little groups, or, you know, around other groups, so you can get this really nice board control. And then the firepower of the rerolls, and then, you know, their special abilities that they have as Salamanders with all the different rerolls of special. You know, one guy can do a reroll if you have a Melta in every unit, and that Melta is rerolling to hit and wound every turn, no matter where it is on the board. That in itself is more powerful than a controlled little bubble going around, because then you need the long range stuff.
Yeah.
So Space Marines are a blast. Primaris, I like them all. I really haven't played a unit that I'm like, no, that's not very good. They're pretty good. The new ones, the Aggressors, are very strong. They're very strong with the Raven Wing, because you can use those command points and stratagems are amazing as well. If you're not using them, and that's kind of how I'm trying to help a couple of Space Marine players in the league, when you've got all these command points, use them early on.
Yeah.
You know, use them while you have the ability to use them on certain things. to get the advantage, to get the upper hand.
When,
right?
you, when you have that, when you have that death company that just deep striked their jump packs, and they're making that charge, and they roll a 6 and a 1. You need to use that command point right now and reroll that 1, because you're looking at a 50-50 shot of making that charge.
Yeah,
and that's changing the ball game right there. You know, early.
Oh, yeah, and those stratagems. Memorize those stratagems. Study those stratagems. You know, always be ready to use them, because you'll forget in the middle of the game, and that turn or that phase will pass, and you'll look. I mean, this is just a thing because it's a new system and a new codex. You'll be like, I totally should have used that one stratagem. That would have saved my butt right there.
What about the Incestors and Gilliman? Because the Incestors shoot a lot.
They do shoot a lot.
And they can fly away and shoot again.
Well, their points are different now. So if you haven't got the new Space Marine Codex yet, the points are a little bit better. So, and then they've got the new ones that are going to have the plasma as well that will be really good. So they're a good harrying unit, if I'm saying that word right, where they can mess with your opponent's flank.
Harassing unit?
Need them to.
Harasser?
Yeah, a harassing unit.
A herring unit is just like a fish.
Yeah.
They
kind of just like...
sits there.
They're kind of just like, you think they're like something's going on over here, but it's really not.
Yeah.
They're a little pickled herring.
It's like a red herring. So, the Incestors, that's what, like, Jaime and Cersei are, right?
They're Incestors.
Okay.
Well, listen, Doug, we need to run a commercial.
Yeah.
And we're going to run commercials, and we come back, and we're gonna talk a little bit of Table War for 10 minutes.
Yeah. Because you know what?
Okay.
I don't know who says life after cover save doesn't talk about 40K and tactics. But this episode's full of it.
They can eat a dick. Yo, get off the computer. I need to check eBay. I got an auction ending soon. Wait, what are you doing on the computer?
I'm just buying some minis online.
Are you saving money?
Nah, dude, saving clicks. Time is money, right?
Hey, what the heck was that for?
Dude, you gotta buy from Frontline Gaming. They offer savings on minis every single day. And up to 25% off Games Workshop stuff.
Whoa, that's better than saving clicks. With all that savings, I can take a few days off of work so I can paint these minis. Ow! You gotta stop that. It hurts.
You know what hurts? Spending 3 weeks base coating models. Save yourself some pain and get them painted by Frontline Gaming's painting studio.
You know what? You've got all the answers. That's why I'm glad you're my best friend. I don't know what I'd do without you. I could never hurt you. What are you looking up on eBay?
I'm selling a bunch of old models. Don't really use them anymore.
Why aren't you going through Frontline Gaming's secondhand store? You can get money or store credit.
I think you broke my nose.
I don't like your tone, mister. So I'm just going to say this. Head over to frontlinegaming.org for more details.
Firmer Terra's Alpha Table. The Alpha was designed for a portable tabletop game experience. Folded to 48 inches by 18 inches, it comes with handles installed for easy transportation. If your army and terrain are mobile, why can't your play space be? Head over to firmerterra.com for more details. The Alpha Table. Make war everywhere. Hey, this is Big Nasty B from Life After the Cover Save, and I'm at a mall talking to strangers about Table War. Table War develops some of the most innovative products for the miniature wargaming and hobby industry.
And I develop pictures.
That's great. They develop things like the Fat Matt.
Who's Matt, and why is he so fat?
Well, first off, Matt is not a person. The Fat Matt is a tabletop gaming surface, and with over 40 different designs, Table War's Fat Matt has become a community standard.
I got a Surface Pro. It's like 10 inches. By the way, I mean my friend Simbon. Do you know where that is?
No, but I do want to tell you about the Table War Tower case line.
Oh man, towers are so huge.
Well, it's not that kind of tower. It's the original modular, all-in-one display storage and transport system for all your tabletop miniatures.
Wow, you're really smart. What's your relationship status?
Well, it's complicated. But you know what isn't complicated?
chili dogs.
This is true. But also, the Macromat.
Oh, geez, not that guy again.
The Macromat is a one-of-a-kind, innovative photography backdrop, perfect for collectibles, hobby miniatures, and small works of art. Its durability, portability, and functionality in one inexpensive product.
I wasn't paying attention to what you just said, but do you validate parking?
No, I do not. But if you want more information, head over to TableWar.com and check them out.
Table War!
It's funny because the last thing you said before we went to commercial was something that I used to hear Doug Johnson say when we used to play Xbox a lot.
Indubitably?
No.
What?
When somebody would, when he would kill somebody.
What would he say?
Eat a dick.
Eat a dick.
He would tell people that. And you know what's sad? I don't see Doug Johnson playing Xbox anymore.
Yeah, I don't know.
I haven't been, huh? It's terrible.
Doug Neal came
back?
I've
been so busy with... Huh?
Doug Neal came back after being gone for a while. Yeah, we've been playing a lot of Battlefield, and I've been missing you.
All right, we got to get the buggies in there.
Yeah.
Well...
And it's eat a bag of dicks, not just eat a dick.
I know.
Well,
that's a Louis C.K. thing, and I've been listening to way too much stand-up comedy on Pandora to where I'm like regurgitating it just inappropriately at random when people not knowing what I'm talking about.
It's too bad they don't talk about harassing and herrings on that Pandora stand-up.
No, it's actually a Swedish tactic. If you Google it, you'll find it, 40K herring.
Oh, yeah, because they love fish.
Because they love fish. So it's a pretty – I probably shouldn't have said anything because the Swedes are really – they really like that tactic, and it's something special that they've came up with. And
they keep the cards close to their chest. So
They do.
Now – we spent the last 40 minutes talking a lot of 40K. You lament the fact that there's still more to talk about, but we say enough is enough.
Yeah.
Enough is enough. First turn business, we don't give a fuck about that. The other thing you said, terrain, we don't give a fuck about that.
We don't know what you're even talking about.
Well, I don't
know.
What's
terrain?
But what we want to hear about is Table War now.
Are you okay, Doug?
What's that? Am I making noises? Sorry.
Kind of,
a little bit, but it's okay.
It's like when Blake's playing Xbox.
No, that's Josh.
Oh yeah, it's true.
Josh goes.
He doesn't do that anymore.
Oh, he got a better mic setup. Oh, there we go.
What the? Okay. I'm gonna have to edit that out.
That was Blake.
I think I'm gonna have to edit that out. Yeah. Dude.
Well, you know it's funny.
That was gross.
It's funny because it didn't get through the airplane mode.
Yeah, I know. How did your fart get to the airplane mode, dude?
So Table War's been busy. What?
Did you take...
It's fart joke time. Last time I was on an airplane, I had my headset on, and it was so loud, but I was a little gassy. You ever get to that? Have you ever had headphones on, and you're like, huh, I wonder if that was loud to everybody out there.
Yes. Yes. No. I know.
But you took off your Bluetooth headset, and you put it right in your butthole, and then you farted, and then you put it back on? Is that what just happened, Doug?
That wasn't me.
Okay.
That was me. My bad.
No. Our voices are coming in strong. Okay?
There was a definite weird Bluetooth headset filter on that fart.
Bluetooth going through airplane mode into a cell phone, and it was weird, dude.
Well,
that was not a high-quality fart.
No. Only the highest quality farts.
That fart was like kilobits. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Blake, my farts
are megabytes.
Are megabytes?
Yeah.
Blake's are gigabytes. Don't.
Because when I deleted some of the raw recordings, and it takes up a lot of space.
Yeah.
Like we compress it to send it out to you guys.
Yeah.
So that's gonna be really weak fart once it's compressed. Doug.
Just a trash fart. From a trash human being. So, Doug, since you've been on, we've seen Table War do a lot of stuff. In particular, those macro mats have been pretty successful.
I wish I had one.
Yeah, we had two opportunities to get them from you.
Yeah,
and we butchered them both. We botched them.
We botched them. I don't blame you, Doug, at all. I blame Blake and myself.
Has your people contacted my people and we'll just send them to you? I mean,
no, we'll just wait.
Seriously. Okay.
It's just easier.
We're going to see you in November.
Yeah.
Or I'll see you in November.
Yeah, it's not really a problem. If we're really hard up, we'll have our people talk to your people. But yeah, for the most part, nah.
Okay. I was taking pictures of some miles I've been working on, and I was like, man, I was gonna call like Cheyenne or Campos to see if I could borrow one of their Fat Mats.
Their macro.
Macros. I'll bleep that out.
Fat Mat.
Whatever. No, you can use the macro mat stand with your Fat Mat.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's an idea.
Yeah.
There's an idea.
Like the Starry Field background is a really cool, you know, black background with a little depth that people use. That's pretty cool.
And
especially
and,
for like flyers and stuff like that.
That's actually a good idea.
Yeah. And so the macro mats have been moving.
Yeah.
We saw some new designs of Fat Mats.
On Carl's Facebook page.
On Carl's Facebook page.
Or the independent. I should. We say Carl's.
We mean
it. But you know what? We're not. When we say that, we're not including Justin, and we're not including Adon.
No.
And that's. I bet you they're listening right now, and their feelings are hurt.
No, they're not.
They're not listening. Carl is the only one that listens.
Sometimes.
Yeah, that's sometimes.
So we were seeing. We didn't get the press release email.
Yeah.
So. You know, we saw these sales and announcements and new products, and we're like, what's happening? Man,
I'd like to give our consumers codes to even see if any of our listeners even buy a mat, Doug. That would be nice to know. But now they're just putting in Carl's code because they listen to them too.
Yeah.
What's this code you speak of?
I don't know.
Wasn't it like I don't know.
Like free massages or something?
Yeah.
Wait,
I need those.
ICUP. Was that what it was?
I don't know.
Didn't
fucking matter, man.
It doesn't matter what the code is because it wasn't our code.
Exactly.
And I wasn't going to put in a code on Carl's thing to help him out.
Yeah. It's the worst. So
he doesn't need help. Carl doesn't need any help.
No.
He's driving a Porsche 911, dude.
It's true. this is very true.
I don't think the Macromat sale will put gas in this car.
No.
So.
But hey, whatever. I mean, let's professional jealousies put aside.
No, I hate Carl.
And by Carl, I mean Carl, not the independent characters.
Yeah, I don't not hate Adon.
Carl, you know, Carl's kind of a big deal. So.
He actually.
There you go.
I will admit that he is a big deal.
Oh, yeah. You know what? The thing I like about Carl is he's big time. But he hasn't big-timed me.
And he hasn't big-timed me.
I mean...
He actually gushes over Blake sometimes.
Doug Johnson from Table War, on the other hand.
Oh, yeah.
We get a little big-timed, you know?
Not at all.
The mini Wargaming folks, they big-time us.
Yep.
FLG people, big-time us. Everybody's big-timing us.
Yeah. We've been big-times.
What do you consider big-time?
No, like when we go to contact people and we just don't hear back from them from a while.
Yeah.
Our fans have big timed us when we try to tell them, hey, here's your prizes.
That's not a big time thing with me. That's not a big time thing with me. That's an artist kind of like I don't pay attention to the outside world kind of thing.
And that's a cop out.
That's not a big time thing.
Yeah. Just like when you're gonna leave in a few minutes, say you got league. That's a cop out, dude.
No, league can fucking wait.
Oh, okay.
Well, listen.
More important than league.
Well, listen. What? So yeah. So what's new? What's been happening for those that didn't tune in to the independent characters fucking Facebook post about it?
Yeah. What are the new mats? What do they look like?
So, some of the new things that we're actually releasing are the new Cobbletown series.
Cobbletown. So
Cobbletown series is a fantasy style mat. It's got the cobble walkways, a lot of mud and rubble and stuff like that on it. They're really beautiful. There's so much detail in them. It blows my mind sometimes just looking at every little section of the intricate detail. And the Cobbletown series is a 3x3, 4x4, and 6x4. They're all unique. art in them. They all have the Cobbletown like trails and walkways and stuff like that. But then we also have all of those in a
6x3
winter. In a winter.
Oh, what did I read somewhere where you said 6x3?
Well, that's the new thing. Well, I was trying to do the Cobbletown series.
Oh, sorry. How many number was it, you say four of them?
3x3.
The Cobbletown series right now is 3x3, 4x4, and 6x4.
How many images are on there?
There's a winter version of them.
Okay.
And then there's a normal version.
So there's two different Cobblestone.
So there's winter Cobbletown and then Cobbletown.
Okay.
And each mat size, it's not like the 3x3 is just a cutout of the 6x4.
No.
Okay. Each of them are unique. They each have
unique elements in them. Okay. They do share elements as well because they kind of match up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now we just also put them all have...
Wait, hold on. I want to talk about the Cobbletown.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Cobbletown.
One of the things that was...
Are there skulls in the Cobbletown?
I'm sure there is. I don't know. We'll find out.
Okay.
Hey, guys, just so you know... I do have league tonight, but go ahead.
Well, we're almost done here. What I liked is what the Fat Mats are able to do really well is they show a two-dimensional surface, but it almost has a three-dimensional look. Like, I think one of them showed like this burned-out, caved-in corner building.
Right.
Like a ruined building.
Yeah.
In the grass.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I was like, wow, that doesn't look flat.
Right.
You know, there's depth on there.
Gotcha.
You know, was I looking at the Cobbletown?
Is that your product, Doug?
That's part of the Cobbletown. There's some walls. The ruined foundation of like a flooring that kind of looks like a broken up wall or whatever.
Okay, that's what it was.
That's what it was. Okay.
Those details, I was like, oh, that looks really good.
Yeah, it did look good.
Well, we have been trying to do that since the first grassy plain, though. Mm. So, even the first grassy plain, if you look at it like just a picture on the web, you're like, oh, okay, some grass, some rocks. But when you get it on the table and you put your terrain and stuff on there, there is that kind of, you know, depth. That you see in our mats that you might not see in other mats.
So what is this 6x3? You said something else. That there's a you're about to segue into a new thing.
I was just reading that I heard there's a 6x3, but I was just wondering like what games use 6x3s.
Yeah, what's this?
Can you guess what that is, Greg? The 6x3 space?
6x3 space.
Yeah, what do we play on that?
What's this?
Do you know? Is it a tabletop game?
Do the sound again.
Yes.
Is it like amazing?
He's giving us a cue.
That was Jeopardy.
That was Jeopardy.
Oh, I thought he was giving us...
The game is Jeopardy.
What is Armada?
Armada. Armada does a 6x3?
They do the 6x3 space.
What's really? Armada?
It's basically Star Wars X-Wing.
It's a Star Wars X-Wingy thing.
You're using Star Destroyers instead of TIE Fighters.
Yeah.
So when you use TIE Fighters in Armada, it's this little tray with like five fucking TIE Fighters on it.
Oh, okay.
It's big ship combat.
Gotcha.
Big ship combat. And then we also have the 3x6 grassy plains too. What is that used for? What tabletop game is that used for, guys? Dun 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 dun. Wait, can't do it again.
I don't know.
Hold on.
Something I'm not going to be playing for sure.
Rune Wars.
Oh, Rune Wars. That's right.
Rune Wars.
That's that FFG. So they use. Oh, of course, FFG.
Yeah, of course they're using Doug, 6x8. Like,
So Rune Wars is basically pre-painted block fantasy game. Looks cool. Yes.
Looks cool, guys. So we'll be
coming out with more, like the Cobbletowns will probably come out in 3x6 as well.
Wow.
There. I haven't told that to anybody. You guys are the first.
But you also said probably. So you're, it could possibly never happen.
You could be lying.
Well, yeah. Well, okay, let's just officially call it right now. It's already out there. It's going to happen.
Todd, you're pissed.
When you say
life after the cover save, you heard it here first.
When you say it's already out there.
6x3. I just said it.
Yeah, but when you say it's already out
there. 2 minutes ago, I just said it.
Does that mean it's in Carl's hands right now? Is that what that means?
Carl might have one.
Carl's playing on it right now? Is that what you mean by it's out?
Carl is probably playing on one right now as he's listening to your show.
Well, yeah.
I'm assuming Carl is listening to us right now as we're recording.
Yes.
You run everything through him, right?
Yes.
He's the big deal.
He's patched in. He can't comment, but he's listening. And
we're getting texts.
Yeah.
You're getting IMs from him right now?
Yeah. He said don't talk about it anymore.
He said stop it. He says it's time for us to stop. And the Porsche talk. Right.
Anything else? We're gonna have to wrap this
up. Yeah, I was just gonna say, so Cobbletown, we got the different sizes of it.
Yeah.
For different game types. We got the winter and the spring. And Cobbletown stuff looks great. And then I think it's kind of exciting. You're launching into the Fantasy Flight 6x3 or 3x6.
Yeah, 6x3. We do the 6x3 and the 3x6 as well.
Okay. Well, either way.
Won't that be the same thing?
I don't know.
It's the same thing, Blake.
I don't know.
You're quick at it.
Either way.
Like, do you do a 4x4 and a 4x4?
Well, no. A 6x3.
It's just turn it this way. Like,
yes.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, he said it, and you're just like.
I mean, technically.
You mean both those sizes?
I mean.
You need both of them?
Technically. They are two different things.
No, they're not.
No, they are. It's just he only produces a 6x3.
No, it's actually a 3x6. Like,
which one does he produce?
It doesn't matter.
Stop.
We switch around the logo.
No.
On the 3x, if you want the logo in a different place, you buy the 3x3 or the 6x3. Or the 3x6.
So you literally spent the time and energy and money to make a tag that said 3x6 and another one that said 6x3?
You know what? I think the 6x3 should be a little more expensive because
the number. Yes.
And just see if people pay more. Just do like a $5 difference and see if people are like, man, I really want that 6x3. I like the 3x6, but if I just had the 6x3.
So, yeah. So, are you serious that you actually made separate tags, 3x6 and 6x3?
No.
Okay, good. Then my point stands.
No,
he only makes one.
Yes.
You have to do an off fucking label use to get the other.
Okay.
It's like when you take, I don't know, whatever. That's exciting. That's exciting to get into the FFG tabletop market.
It's like,
that's cool.
It's like this milk comes in a gallon or 128 cups.
Yeah, but they say both of it on there.
Okay, well, I'm just saying. It's like, you do both of them?
Did I actually sound surprised when I said that?
A little.
Well, I was probably faking it.
No.
Honestly.
Faking it, Blake?
Come on now. We'll go back and listen.
When it comes to numbers.
It's obviously the same number.
It's a little slow on the uptake.
No. My point is, sometimes when you do shows like this, you have to at some time get excited about things.
Ah, okay.
And maybe sometimes that thing to get excited about
is a 6x3.
Is a 6x3 and a 3x6, okay? And sometimes you have to get excited about something.
For those OCD people that, the first number has to be smaller than the second or whatever. We have 6x4s. We don't do 4x6s, though. The 3x6, we're going to do 6x3 as well.
Well, I like how you crossed a line. You said no. No 4x6s.
No.
You
said,
well, it's good to have limits.
Okay.
Yeah.
Last question for you, Doug.
God damn it. Continue.
I'm going to give you the last question.
Okay.
Is that all right with you, Blake?
Well, I was going to say, and I've been trying to say it, that moving into the FFG mat space is pretty exciting, Doug. I think that can be a new area of the market to get to, you fucking piece of shit. And it's something that I don't think people are making right now.
No.
Yeah, so that's a strong move.
So, what was the last question, Ed?
Yeah.
Do you plan on playing
Destiny 2?
Necromunda.
Oh, shit, Necromunda.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
We got to hang up right now before we start talking about Necromunda.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you going to have a Necromunda? You going to have a Necromunda league? Are you going to have a Necromunda league?
Hang up now.
There will be a Necromunda league. There will be a Necromunda. But let me just tell you, how about I come back on next month? We talk about Necromunda.
No.
And I also tell you in detail about our brand new Kickstarter that's going to be starting a completely new product mid-September. You heard it here first, people.
It's a 4x6 mat. He's kickstarting 4x6 mat.
It's its own named product. It is not a case. It is not a fat mat, and it is not a macro mat. It is something completely new.
It's a macro case. It's a case that folds up into a mat, and you can carry your models in it. I already know, Doug. I've been spying on you.
Okay, well, yeah.
It's called a 4x6 beach mat.
Here's the thing. The Kickstarter is obviously just going to be labels that say 6x3.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right, so when it comes time to be pumping that Kickstarter, we'll get you on and we'll talk about it, all right?
I wish I would have known. I would have postponed this interview.
I would have too.
That's why I got in on this one. I was like, let's do it.
Greedy.
Too much Doug.
You to bring me back. I am. What do you guys say? The most least requested guest.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Doug, it was good talking. We talked some 40K. We talked some Table War. We made me look ridiculous.
We got some exclusive.
We got some exclusive fucking. And got a little teaser.
I'm sure Carl already knows what it is.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, guys. Tablewar.com.
Yeah.
Yes. Table War.
And now the time has gone away. Thank you for listening today. Blake and Ed. They want to thank you. Evil Ed, you better listen up this day. 'Cause Blake and Ed are talking 40K. You know the motto. His life is always.